theirs was the authority that I had to listen to. So it's different. We have different ways of thinking. This man was a man called of God, and he was told to do a job, and he went and did it. Now God said to him, don't stay there, don't eat a meal, don't drink a drink, and leave. When you've done what I've asked you to do, get out of there. So he tells the king, thanks for the invitation, but I'm not staying. I'm on my way. God has some other purpose for me this day, and I'm leaving. So he took his feet and he started to travel back to where he lived. On the way, he got weary and he laid himself down. It was a hot day, I expect, and he laid himself under a tree, had a snooze, had some victuals, if you like, that he had carried in his pouch and his belt, and he was enjoying himself in a quiet way. You cut the story there, and you go back to a boy who was in the court when he heard this prophet tell the king, no thanks. And the boy goes home and he tells his dad, who is an old prophet, and he says, Dad, listen to this. This is what happened in the palace today. This fellow had the audacity, excuse me, he had the audacity to say no to the king. The old prophet said, saddle my donkey, I'm going to find this man. He's worth talking to. And so he gets on his donkey and off he goes, and he finds the man sitting under the tree having a nice time. And he says to the man, come back. Come back. And rest in my house tonight and have a meal and have some wine and enjoy your life. I'm thrilled to bits to hear the story of what you did in the palace. And the young man says, no, I can't do that. God said I must get out of there, not go back, not eat, and not drink, and not stay there at all. The old man said, look, I'm a prophet. I'm an old prophet, but I'm a prophet. And God spoke to me and said, go and get that young man and bring him back and give him a meal, rest him up, and then let him go home. And the old prophet was a liar. But the young man was impressed that the old prophet said, come back. And so, knowing what he should do, he turned his back on that, and he went back with the old man. And he was eating and drinking and getting ready for bed and all those sorts of things that one does before retiring. And as he was doing it, the Lord said to him, you broke your word. I told you what to do. This man did not have the authority. And tomorrow you'll die. And the young prophet took off tomorrow on a donkey, and as he was traveling, a lion met him, killed him, and left him. Now, if you notice, cats don't eat magpies. I don't know what it is about a magpie, but a cat doesn't eat it. We've seen dead magpies on our lawn. They found some lead, and it gave them poisoning, and they fell upon the lawn. And the cats won't even go and sniff them. The cats walk all the way around them. One day one of our cats did leap out, and he landed plumb right on top of one of these magpies. And the magpie stood dead still, looked around, and for minutes the cat was on top of the magpie. And then the cat sort of looked at everybody that he could see, and he, well, this is a bit ridiculous. I'm sit on top of this magpie, and I don't know what to do with the thing. And so he got off, and the magpie went on strutting across the lawn, soon to die of lead poisoning again. But that's beside the point. The point I want to make is that this poor man was dead and the lion didn't eat him. He had to be Jewish, of course. And the lion didn't eat him. The donkey stood this side of the dead man, and the lion stood that side of the dead man, and the lion didn't go over and get the donkey. The word got back to the old man who had told him a lie and got him killed. And the old man said, I better go out and bury him. So he gets on his donkey and goes out there, and sure enough, there's the lion and there's the body and there's the donkey. And that old lion is standing guard, and that old donkey is wondering what in the world's going on, like my cat. And that was the scene. And the old prophet dug a hole and buried the young man. And terrible story, isn't it? A terrible story? Huh? We're told to follow. Now, listen to this story. You have to go to Acts of the Apostles in chapter 20. And you have to come in at around verse 24. And I shan't get done what I want to get done because of the time factor, but I want to tell you this story because it talks about communion. You won't believe this at this point, but it does. And verse 24 tells us this. None of these things move me. The Apostle Paul is saying this. None of these things move me. I'm not going to be moved by any of you. Nothing is going to move me. God said to me to do something, and I'm going to finish it. He writes to Timothy later on, and he says, Timothy, I've finished the course. I've fought the good fight. I've come to the end of my life, and it's okay. Now, if you go down into verse 24, 25-ish, you'll see that Agabus says to him, he takes his belt and he wraps the belt around his own waist, and he says, the man that wears this belt, if he goes to Jerusalem, is going to die in Jerusalem. Now, Paul had been told this before. And some people are very silly about this. They say, see, the Apostle Paul was out of the will of God. God was saying to him, don't go to Jerusalem. But he went because he was a stubborn old so-and-so. And he went to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, he was killed, martyred, some people would say. He was killed in Jerusalem. And he didn't have to die. All he had to do was not go. Now listen to Paul. If you look at this down here, in this piece of scripture, the Apostle Paul, after he's gone, this is verse 17, from Miletus to Ephesus, he called the elders of the church together. And Agabus comes and says, you can't do this. If you go to Jerusalem, you're going to die. And Paul says, So, I believe that somewhere in the mindset of the Apostle Paul, he remembered that first story that I told you, read to you, and repeated. And he remembered that God had sent him on a course. And that once he hit that course, he was to go to Jerusalem, because God said, I will send him to Jerusalem that he must learn what he must suffer for my sake before kings and leaders in Jerusalem. And Paul was about to go on and suffer a little more. Now, the poor man had been whipped, he'd been flogged, he'd been beaten with rods, he'd been stoned, he'd been left for dead, he'd been ignored, and people had argued and argued and argued with him, told him he was a useless fellow, and people told him he didn't know what he was talking about, though he was very well versed in the scriptures, very well understanding what the scriptures said, knowing what God had said to him, following what God had called him to do. But now they try to distress him more. And he uses the expression, "Would ye break my heart?" I don't want my heart broken. Would you make me disobedient and break my heart? I have not, he says to the people, the elders of Ephesus, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision, the thing that God told me to do. And that must be the stance of a man of God. It must be. It must be. So we come to a place where we see Jesus. And Jesus is standing in front of in front of Pilate. And Pilate says to him, look at all these accusations these people bring. I find no cause to accept what they say. And he turns to the congregation of the Jewish leaders and he says, listen to this. I have scourged this man. I've had him whipped. And I find no fault in this man. And he turns to Jesus. He said, won't you answer me anything? Won't you talk to me? Won't you plead your cause with me? Won't you speak to me? I have power to let you go or to reduce you to a corpse. I have power. Listen to Jesus. Thou hast no power unless it was given to you by my Father in heaven. Isn't that lovely? Think of it. So we see a young prophet, preacher, lonely but true, standing for what God says and doing what God says to the best of his ability, and then, because he heard a lie, he turned himself around and distrusted God. He stood alone until he linked up with that old lying prophet. Then we see this other story where the Apostle Paul, knowing that he must go to Jerusalem to be martyred if necessary, and that is what happened, but he was to die. And he says, I have to go because God has told me to go. That's how our lives should be lived. And no matter what the people around us are saying, listen, because from the mouth of many counselors comes wisdom. So listen. And is this wisdom of God, is it also initialed by the Holy Spirit in your life? And if not, have nothing to do with it, because the wisdom of man is worse than the wisdom of the devil. It starts with the devil and it ends up with your destruction. Or you say, we're now under grace. We are. And that's the remarkable thing about the scriptures. We are under grace and not under law. That's for a future discussion. But I share with you this, that Jesus stood and he said, for this cause came I into the world. For this end was I born. I came to this place, standing in front of you, Pilate, to die, to be condemned to death, because that is what God wants with my life. Now, if you want to be really up to date, and I'll just take 1 minute to do this, there are some of us that read the scriptures prophetically, and we can see that in this country, persecution is going to come. Some are doomsday people who say, oh, woe is us, look what's going to happen. I'm not one of those, please. I'm one who says, whoopee, let it happen. The sooner we get this done with, the sooner we're with the Lord Jesus, and the sooner we spend the rest, the rest of our eternal life with Jesus. And that is what I'm looking for, aren't you? So, God has a plan. Let me use a scriptural reference so that it shocks those of you visiting or those of you who haven't been here too often. But here's the shocker. Whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate. God had a plan. The word predestinate, just insert there. He had a plan. And he worked out his plan. And his plan is, and his plan was, and his plan will be the glory of Jesus. And so we come to Christmas. I'm excited about Christmas. I found a coat. Oh, they wanted $1,000 for the coat. And I said to Renee, I want that coat. She looked at me and cocked an eyebrow and said, good luck. But then I found the same coat, and it had been discounted, and it was only $650. I said, look, I want the coat. And she said, yeah. Good luck. And then she came running down the stairs. She said, I found your coat. I said, you have? She said, yes. It's been discounted. I said, well, I know that. I told you. No, no. It's been discounted more. It's only $400. $400 for my coat. I want my coat. It's such a nice coat. It's a warm coat. It's a weather-beating coat. And this year, because the winter won't arrive, I don't need a coat. But I want that coat. Aren't we silly people? Huh? But Christmas is coming. And I may get the coat. Because she was whispering in the ears of all the children at Thanksgiving, he wants the coat. And I shall be mad as a hornet if they take a brush and make it of many colors. I want a coat. That's all silly, but Christmas is coming. Why'd you give gifts? Oh, I wish I had a few million dollars. I would make this community rejoice in the gifts of Jesus. I wish I had more millions of dollars. And I would repair all their rotten houses and replace the ones that should have been burned a long time since. Oh, if only the Lord would give me millions and millions of dollars. What a difference I could make in Christmas Valley. But does he want Christmas Valley? Does he want Christmas Valley? We have Christmas every day of the year living here. It's a wonderful thing. And we give gifts. We don't have to wait till the 25th of whatever. And we have fun. We don't have to wait until it's that time to sing carols. But what a joy it is to sing about Jesus. What a joy it is that I heard the bells on Christmas Day peal out that wonderful carol, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Ah, what a joy. And I want to share this with you quickly. Isn't it wonderful that he has brought us to this Christmas? This is different to any other Christmas, because in the next year, according to all the pundits, we'll all be broke. Isn't this a milestone? And this time next year, we'll be looking back at this one and we'll say, well, it's Christmas again. and Jesus is soon to come. Soon he'll be here. And the sooner, or even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But you know, the man of God stood alone. The Apostle Paul stood alone. Jesus stood alone. And so Jesus said this, I want you to do something for me. I want you to be a people who remember me. I don't want to be forgotten. Now we argue about the people up in Washington and their statement of atheism beside the statement of Christianity. And we say, how terrible. Well, it really doesn't matter. Does that shock you? I hope it does. I don't think it matters anything. If people want to reveal their ignorance and foolishness, their godlessness and their deliberate back turning to salvation, let it be. Let them die. Let them die without Jesus. That's their call. But the call is that Jesus loved them so much that he died for them. And Jesus would have them come now and cast off their atheistic attitude. But Jesus said this through the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul tells us, it's lovely. I know, you've heard it all before. But Paul says, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this to remember me, in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, when he had taken the cup, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Where whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Did God call you to be alone and stand for him? Are you standing? Did God give you a message to take to someone about him? Are you taking it? Are you being hindered and turning around and going backwards? Stop still. Go back. Go on with Jesus. Has somebody been real dramatic and said, if you do this, you're going to die? Die. Just die. Who cares? You see, I have a body. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Whether you believe it or not doesn't matter a hoot. What matters is that it's a fact, and the Bible says so. And this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if I die, I am the Lord's. Is that lovely? And if I live, I am the Lord's. That's more wonderful, perhaps, to some of you. The Apostle Paul argues this way. He says, oh my goodness, you know, I would really like to be with Jesus, but because I'm me and you're you, we're stuck with each other and I'm here and I need to live a little longer here, but I'd rather be with Jesus. I'd rather be with Jesus for me to die. He said is gain. For me to die is gain. Can you say that? Do you think it? Do you believe it? Can you honestly say that? For me to die is gain. There are a million things I want to do. I shall not get them done. But there are so many things I'd like to do and so many places I want to go. But I won't get there. But for me to die, to be with Jesus, absent from this body, present with my Lord. Huh? Isn't that lovely, Sheena? He lives. And because he lives, we live. Will you examine yourselves now? Just have a think. Time. Get your mind cooking. Is there any wickedness that you need to confess? Is there any sin that you need to get rid of? Is there anything between you and a brother or sister that you need to straighten out? Will you do it now as you quietly lift your heart to the Lord Jesus? Lord Jesus Christ, as we take this bread and remember your amazing love, we ask for your continual blessing. Open our hearts that we may see glimpses of truth thou hast for every one of us. We ask it because Jesus is our Savior and deliberately was born to die. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. Men, would you join me and help me here, please? Jesus said that he was the bread of life. And if anybody would come to him, they'd never be hungry. But they would always have enough to eat. Their spirits would never die. Please serve. We read the dear Lord Jesus took bread and he broke it and he said, "This do in remembrance of me. Eat ye all of it." What a simple thing you've done for us, Lord, that we may remember. We send Christmas cards to people, we send bulletins and letters to people, and we say we love you. And this is the once a year time we say hello. And this is what's happened to us. And you have reminded us that we can say hello day by day, that as we break bread, we may remember Jesus. As we drink whatever it is we drink, we may remember his blood, and we may remember he lives. Thank you, Lord, for taking hold of the scruff of the neck of death and pounding it into its own dismal past. Thank you for causing death no longer to be some dreadful thing that we face, but some delightful happening that releases us to an eternal life. Oh, Lord, bless this congregation as we take this cup and remember your death till we see you face to face. We're looking forward to that. But at this Christmas time, we praise you for this opportunity of just being in your presence at this time, right now. Bless this cup, we pray you. Amen. After the same manner also, Jesus took the cup when he supped and said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it."